All right, we continue in the book of Peter, 1 Peter. I have it here somewhere. I had a marker on it. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. It slid down inside. You know, we've been in the process of coming to this letter of Peter for a long, long time. We're at 115 studies on this path that Peter was on from the moment the Lord called him when he was a fisher, when he was a fisherman by the seashore, and the Lord passed by and said, "Come, follow me," and he dropped everything and came, followed the Lord. From that moment on, the Lord began to teach him the truths of who Christ was. And we've been on this path following Peter as he goes through this, as we go through the scriptures. We've come to the first Peter, the first epistle that Peter wrote. We have a little bit of an understanding of what he went through before he wrote this epistle. We can kind of picture a little bit of what he's experienced, and we see that in what he's writing. We once again turn to the first letter of the Apostle Peter. In our previous studies, we finished the first two verses, and this morning we're going to begin verse 3 of chapter 1, of 1 Peter chapter 1. So read with me, if you would, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible," in other words, without, "which cannot be decayed," cannot decay, "and undefiled," and "that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now there's a lot. You know, there were some of us who may have thought that once we got to this letter of Peter that we were going to zip right through it, and zip right through 2 Peter, and boom, we'll be done. You know, the study we've been on for a long time, now we can go on and start something new. But folks, there's so much. There's so much for us to see in each and every verse of this epistle. We're gonna settle right in and just enjoy what God has for us. Peter has given us who it is he is addressing in the first two verses, and now the baseline of all subjects that God's preachers give, and that is praises to the Most High. Hallelujah, we sing. Hallelujah, thine the glory. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's exactly what we're to do, to glory in our Savior for what he's done for us. Every preacher of God does the very same thing, giving Christ all of the glory. This is what Peter is doing. He's given us who he's addressing in the first two ones, and now he's giving us the baseline of his subject. Praises to the Most High. Glory be to God. Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 1:31. "That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now hear, if you will, once again, the words of our dear brother, gone to be with the Lord, Brother Henry Mahan. He writes, in regards to these verses, "Here we have an example of sacrifice. The sacrifice of praise that Paul mentions in Hebrews. Every time Paul talks about God's electing, regenerating, and redeeming grace, he praises, he blesses our Lord and Savior." Listen to this. Listen to his writings in the epistle to the Ephesians. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame." And then Paul, writing in the second epistle to the Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 13, he, He writes it this way. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning. Notice that it was because. We give thanks for you, brethren, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The cause is, again, according to His abundant mercy. Everything, folks, that we have, even our trials, are at the abundant mercy of our Lord and Savior. I was talking with Shelby about the situation with Lindsay. Thank you. Name is right there on the top edge of my tongue. I was talking with Shelby about this. A man who everybody thought was just so healthy, taken down. Yet our dear brother Mike Lovelace and his wife, who aren't all that healthy, didn't have any effect on them at all. But all of this is at the glory of our Lord and Savior, who gives us all things, who makes all things for our good. His purpose is right. His mercy is abundant. The means is the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. Christ died for our sins and He arose for our justification. Our Lord says, because I live, ye shall live. That's in John 14:19. Henry goes on to say this, the end or the goal is a living hope and a certain inheritance. This hope is called a living hope because it is based not on dead works, but on the person and the work of the living God, Jesus Christ. Our inheritance is incorruptible. Neither moth, nor rust, nor decay, nor years have any effect on it. It is undefiled, it is pure and holy, and untouched by sin. And it fadeth not away as the world and its fashion. It's reserved in heaven for you. End of quote. Now this is the message of all true saints of God. In His mercy and by His grace, we have been given an understanding of our unregenerate state, our unregenerate standing before God. Again, I say, once we were blind, but now we see. We see the depth of our Savior's love for us in providing Himself as our substitute, don't we? We see the depth of His love for us in taking our own sins as His own. Though He sinned not, and taking them upon Himself as His own, He paid the price in full and perfectly for each of us. We see the depth of His love in giving us a great hope, a true hope, a hope with perfect assurance, knowing that because God is perfect in everything He does, His blood accomplished what it was supposed to do, what it was purposed to be shed for. There's no ifs. There's no maybes. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not some, not maybe a few here, maybe not this one over here, and maybe this guy won't, but all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Everything our Lord purposed is a sure thing. Isn't that why we call Him God? Isn't that why in our hearts we see Him as who He is? God Almighty, our true Creator of everything, sovereign ruler over all things. He is God in the flesh. Can anything turn His desire? Can anything pluck His love from Him? Look again, if you would, at verse number 3. Pardon me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now allow me, if you would, to quote another wonderful preacher. So you know him by name, Robert Hawker. He writes this. You know, he writes such beautiful... I know it's the old English. You know, it disturbs me a great deal for people who have taken the old English writers, Charles Spurgeon, Robert Hawker, and others, and they've changed the words to our new English version, and it comes out totally different. It just doesn't sound right. I love the Robert Hawker's old writing, his original writing. He says, I beg the reader. He's sitting there. I can picture him sitting there writing at his desk. Well, I'm writing this for what reason? I want people to see what I'm writing. I beg the reader, those of you who are reading this text that I'm writing, I beg the reader to observe how the mind of the apostle was carried out in consequence of what he had just said before. No sooner doth he contemplate the elect of God and the sanctified by the Spirit and the justified in the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, but he falls a blessing. He falls a blessing. See what I mean about his writings? Isn't that beautiful? He falls a blessing. Where was I there? He falls a blessing, God and the Father, yea, the whole persons of the Godhead, for having so blessed the church in Christ with such abundant mercy and grace. The soul of Peter could not contain himself, writes Robert Hawker, in the view of such unspeakable goodness. His heart, like Elihu, went out, wanted to vent, as we read in Job 32:19, "Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles." And then he closes with these words, "Since God had so blessed the church, Peter called upon every heart to bless God with him." Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do when people want to talk to us about God? Don't we get a little excited? Oh, yeah. You want to know about the Lord? Let me tell you about him. You know, he's all right through this book from cover to cover. And it's all about him saving his people. Isn't that cool? Isn't that what we do? Don't we just open up and burst a little bit with a little joy when somebody wants to talk to us? I know that most of the time we're kind of a little disappointed afterwards. Like, oh, yeah, it just kind of went right over them. You know, but remember this. Did it not go over you and I at one time also? Yeah, it sure did, didn't it? But for the grace of God, folks, there go I. And as I look back and see that in the world that I'm in today, I get more excited to tell people about my Lord. I get more excited to tell people about why I have nothing to give, and he has given everything. Amen. How can we keep this in? How can we be silent when it comes to our salvation? Peter is giving praise where praise is due. Some come to me and say, I found the Lord in 1972. And I've been following him ever since. I like to say it a little different. When I hear people say that, I like to say this. The Lord called me in 1999. And he's been dragging me along ever since. Hasn't he? Oh. I get excited about these kinds of things. I get excited about talking about my Savior. He's been pulling me along despite myself. Because he has loved me from before the world began. And he's loved each and every one of you if you belong to him before a star ever twinkled in the sky. How can we not burst out like wine breaking in a bottle and saying, Lord, the Lord loves me. Oh, I'm a sinner. I deserve the wrath of my Creator. I have earned His judgment just as all mankind have. Yet I have been loved from before the world was. God set His affection on me and He chose me as a vessel of His mercy. Hear the cry of God's servant, Isaiah 6 verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. Let me repeat that. Isaiah 6 5. Then said I, woe is me. Isaiah crying out, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen, the King, the Lord of hosts, just as you and I have seen Him in His Word. We bless the Father not on any merit of ourselves, not on anything that we see or do or think or feel within ourselves, but because He is the Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. All glory belongs to Him. Hallelujah! What a Savior. John Gill wrote this. He said, God may be blessed by His creatures when they speak well of Him and His wonderful works of creation and providence and grace, when they ascribe all their mercies, all their spiritual and all their temporal to Him, giving Him the glory of them, and express their thanks for them in their heart, their lips, and their life. Isn't that what we do? Do we not give our Lord glory for everything? Oh, how I wished I gave Him more. Turn, if you will, over to Romans chapter 5. Our text says, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. A hope that we can live by. Allow me to quote from the psalmist. In Psalms 43:5, you know, I looked up that word hope in scriptures. Boy, I'll tell you what, this doesn't even touch the surface as a ripple of all the places our Lord talks about hope in His Word. So I just want to give you four verses. The first one is in Psalms 43:5. It says, why art thou cast down? Now, the psalmist is writing about himself. The psalmist is writing a messianic psalm also. It's not only about him personally as the person that he is in the flesh, but he's also a picture of Christ Jesus on the cross. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted with me? Hope in God. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, His hope was not in the flesh that He had. His hope was in His Father, the Lord God Almighty, sitting on His throne in heaven. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Listen to the Psalms 119 verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy Word. Again, we see the man writing the very thing, facing his own sins in this world, but also the man who is a picture of our Lord and Savior, who is about to go into the grave with all the sins of his people upon his shoulders. who's about to cry out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And where is his hope? "I hope in thy word." In Psalms number 130, verse 7, we read these words, "Let Israel hope." Let spiritual Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And then Psalms... Sorry, I was distracted for just a moment. And then in Psalms 147, verse 11, we read this, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." This is the lively hope Peter's talking about. The hope of life in Christ. And it's all in Christ, and it all glorifies him, and he gets the glory and the credit for it all. Look with me, if you would, beginning at verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, and let's read through verse 9. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's our glory. That's God's glory, is our hope in his Son. Our hope, which is a gift of God put in him. Our trust, our faith is a gift of God. And not only, in verse 3, "not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." How often in your life has God come along and shown you, after a trial, the wonders of his grace in bringing you through it? Yeah. Those of us who've been around a little bit longer have gone through a lot more trials, haven't we? Yes. Patience, experience, and experience hope. Verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength..." Now, don't take that wrong, folks. When we were yet means we were yet before, but we still are. Our strength we have now is only in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who keeps us and preserves us from what we could be and what we might be. "And hope that make us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely," verse 7, "for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Oh, what a hope the people of God have. Aren't you thankful that there's nothing in this flesh that we can lay our hope upon? Paul encourages the saints at Colossae to do this. In Colossians 1, verse 23, he says, "Continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. The writer of Hebrews writes this: but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then we read these words in Titus chapter 2 verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What a hope we have, folks. We don't have a question of, well, you know, our hope is not a hope that, like, man, maybe it will, maybe it won't. Our hope is, if I belong to Christ, I have the hope of eternal life, a lively hope. This is what Peter is saying to you and I. He's saying this: praise be to God that through His abundant mercy, we have been given a living hope, a hope of eternal life. And that hope is secured in the fact that the Son of the living God arose from the dead, the victor over death for all of His elect. Amen. Will you stand with